Deion Sanders took the college football world by storm last year, and that was likely just the beginning. Coach Prime joins the show for a fascinating interview on the state of college football, the transfer portal, and some very interesting thoughts on the NFL draft. Plus, we have updates on the Olympics, John Calipari's contract with Arkansas, and the WNBA's plans for Caitlin Clark. It's Thursday, April 11th. I'm Owen Poindexter, and this is Front Office Sports Today. Time once again for our weekly checkup on the world of sports media with tuned in columnist Mike McCarthy. Welcome, Mike.
Great to be here, Owen.
Yeah, great to have you. We have to start with Caitlin Clark. You know, she didn't win the final, but otherwise, you know, but she did kind of revolutionize sports. So what's your take on her week?
Just a history-making week for sports TV. As you said, she's leaving college without a national championship. But she did something just as important, Owen. For the first time ever, the women's national championship drew more viewers than the men's national championship, and it wasn't even close. Caitlin Clark outdrew the men by 4 million or more. And here's another stat that blew my mind when I finally got the numbers from Nielsen, Owen. Not only did this year's women's championship outdraw the men's championship, it outdrew 4 of the last 5 men's championships. The only one that beat it was Virginia in 2019. So that just shows you what an incandescent star she is. As they said about Tiger Woods, he doesn't move the needle. He is the needle. Well, you know what? Caitlin Clark is the needle.
And we're seeing that even in the WNBA schedule. She hasn't officially been drafted by the Indiana Fever. I think we can safely write that in pen. The Fever are going to be on national TV for 36 out of their 40 games this coming season.
Yeah, it's a very smart media strategy. The WNBA has a fever, and the only prescription is more Caitlin Clark right now, to paraphrase Will Ferrell and the great Christopher Walken. I think it's a great idea. She's a new star. You get her out there on national TV as much as possible, and you try to tap in to this incredible fever and excitement around her in the women's basketball game as soon as she starts in the NBA. I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely, and she'll have some good foils to play against, and it's a good opportunity for the league to introduce some of their other stars, but also, you know, people like Angel Reese, who you know from the college scene, who are going to, you know, also be entering the league.
Yeah, it's a great point about Angel Reese. I mean, when I think about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the same words come to mind: Bird Magic. I'm old enough to remember this 1979 game where Bird and Magic played in the men's NCAA championship game. I've never seen anything like it. The whole country tuned in. It had something like 35 million viewers. It's still the most watched college basketball game of all time. But what was important about it is they took their rivalry directly from that game into the NBA. I don't know if you remember at the time, when the NBA finals were being shown on tape delay. That's how bad the league was doing. They weren't even showing the games live. And Bird and Magic came in and just energized the NBA, and it's been on a rocket ship ride ever since.
Yeah, and some other guy named Jordan came in a little bit after that. So, you know, things kind of went well from there. Let's hop over to the Masters. Oh, obviously, it's always historic, but this will be historic for a new reason, which is that Vern Lundquist is having his final run.
Uncle Vern, one of my all-time favorite announcers, to me, the best pipes in the business, famous for his Augusta National Masters call, 1986, Jack Nicklaus, maybe, yes, sir. And then in 2005, when Tiger hit that miraculous chip in, Vern exclaimed, "In your life, have you ever seen anything like that?" Those two calls will go down in history, and so will Lundquist.
I mean, the Masters, you know, it's an event that really pulls from its history. You know, it's almost like the Kentucky Derby in that, like, you're almost there for, like, you're at a museum, but you're also watching it live. Can it keep that gravitas without Vern?
I think it can. The Masters is always the most watched, most popular, highest rated golf tournament of the year. And it isn't even close. You know, yeah, we're going to be missing Vern, but you still got Jim Dance, Hello Friends, there in Butler Cabin. You know, he's been on the job for nearly 40 years himself. And what the greatest thing about the Masters is it feels like family. It's the only tournament that returns to the same course year after year. So we feel like we know it. You know, when you watch a Masters, it's like slipping on a pair of comfortable slippers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, enjoy the show. Mike McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The track and field competition at the Olympics is one of the oldest Olympic events, but this year in Paris, they'll be doing something new, giving out prize money. It may be news to some of you that winners at the Olympics don't make money directly from winning medals, but this year that will start to change. Officials are setting aside $2.4 million, from which they will dole out $50,000 to each gold winner at track events. That's not exactly a lot, given that the Olympics is one of the few events that gets major international attention, but it's something to build on. There are plans to give out money to silver and bronze winners at the Summer Games in Los Angeles in 2028. And for some Olympians, prize money might be all they get. Production of medals could be slowed by a strike at the French National Mint, where workers are demanding the same Olympic bonus given out to police officers and other government workers. The Mint claims that medal production will not be affected. Either way, a little bit of labor unrest is just part of the French experience. John Calipari shocked the college basketball world last week with his move from Kentucky, where he'd been since 2009, to Arkansas. Now we know that he actually took a pay cut to do so. Calipari was making $8.5 million per season with the Wildcats, and he'll drop down to $7 million to join the Razorbacks. His program, however, will be very well funded. Calipari was recruited in part by billionaire John H. Tyson, the chairman of Tyson Foods, who is a major backer of Arkansas. With his support, the team will have an annual NIL budget in excess of $5 million. That's among the best in college basketball. Drawing the top coaches is no longer just about paying them the most, it's also about your ability to pay up for the best players. The irony is that Calipari was one of the more vocal opponents of NIL, especially how it has shifted who gets playing time and players' mindsets toward their athletic careers, but he wasn't going to beat that system, so he joined it. Up next, Deion Sanders wasn't just the most notable college football coach last year. For a while, he was the biggest story in all of sports, both for the team's initial success and his unconventional approach to roster building, but also how he asserted himself as a rock star in the sports world. If you thought that was going to slow down in year two, I think this interview will change your mind. I got to speak with Coach Prime on a number of topics, and that conversation is coming up next. Joined now by the one and only Deion Sanders. Welcome, Deion.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate you.
Hey, great to have you on. So you've been keeping busy this offseason. I see you linked up with Boost Mobile. How'd that deal come together?
Well, first of all, it's a wonderful. We're going way old school, man. You got the darn flip phone. This is unbelievable. It's beautiful. My black and gold from the Colorado Buffaloes. I love it. This team is known for innovation and motivation and taking chances and challenging the status quo and powering through positivity and passion. But Boost has been investing and building in our most advanced wireless network for over the past few years. And now we're going, you know, live nationwide. And I love it. I love the partnership. I love what we see down in the future. And my kids and family love it. And we put a positive message out there every day that you got to believe. If you don't believe in yourself, ain't nobody else will.
Yeah, no, I love the flip phone. That's, you know, kind of like old school cool right there. In addition to Boost, I mean, you've got deals obviously with Blenders, Chevrolet, KFC, Icy Breeze, California Almonds. You know, I could go on. What do you think, you know, this very diverse group of companies, what are they getting when they work with you?
Genuineness, authenticity, realness. A guy who's thinking outside the box and able to reach a demographic probably from age of 16 all the way to 75. So it's a huge demographic that we're able to touch. I say 16 because you have young men in college that desire scholarships that are 16 years old, going to the age of 18 in high school. Then you go all the way through college, and then probably my biggest fan base was a little older than I am, and so that takes them to their 60s, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm excited, man. I'm excited that we're able to touch a multitude of people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you are one of those cross-generational stars, especially now with your new role. You know, if you were in college right now, what kind of NIL money do you think you'd be bringing in?
I don't, that's a tough question because you never know if those people would be ready for the brutal honesty and truthfulness mm-hmm. that you display. You don't know if everybody's ready for that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, right. I guess I think it would you know, move you towards certain brands and away from others. That you know, some would embrace that. Some would say this guy's a little too risky for us. You know, speaking of NIL, you know, Nick Saban, when he retired, he said the reason is that, you know, college football has become more about how much you can pay a player or not, you know, how much you can develop them and work with them over time. Does that ring true to you? What do you think about the state of college football right now?
I mean, he's accurate when it comes to a multitude of people. I don't attract that type of player. I attract the type of player that wants to be great, that understands he has a window of opportunity and he has to have a commitment to excellence. There are players who are playing for a bag, which growing up in the environment, you can't blame them. You can't fault them. If you're going to give up a bag, you're going to have players that are playing for a bag. So I do understand it. I may not condone that's your focus, because I've always thought if you just focus on being great, the bag is going to find you.
And of course, we're seeing thousands of players each year now enter the transfer portal, some of them looking for the bag. Do you think that's an issue that needs to be addressed, or is this just a new reality and you're fine with it?
How are you going to address it?
You tell me, because I don't know.
How are you going to address it? How are you going to address somebody taking another opportunity? It's just like somebody on a job on a 9-to-5 and you quit because you want an opportunity to someone else. It's just like you getting in the portal. If it's good for the everyday man, I think it's good for the collegiate athlete as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to do your homework. It don't play out like you think it would, but you got to be willing to take that risk. If you want to reap the benefits of the reward, you got to be willing to take that risk.
Yeah, and you've talked in the past about how you want to build Colorado largely through the transfer portal because there's such opportunity. You've seen players already succeed at that collegiate level. Is that going to be your attitude going forward?
Well, all that changes with success. All that changes with acquiring the type of roster that you desire. All those things changes when you have a multitude of older young men at this position. You may go young and come out of several players out of high school with that position. So it's a tremendous balancing act.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've kind of spoken about sort of taking it to the next level with Shador, your son, obviously, and Travis Hunter, how they might control their fate at the NFL draft and, you know, not necessarily take the team that wants to pick them and try to, you know, choose their own path. Do you think a lot of players are going to start doing that?
Well, I think it was a player this year who didn't even compete in the combine and didn't compete in pro day. So that was different. We have players multitude of years ago that chose not to go to the team that they're drafted. A couple quarterbacks did that.
Yeah.
I even told several teams that was drafting before the Atlanta Falcons that I'm not playing. I'm going to play baseball if you draft me. So let's not think that this hadn't been done. The things mm-hmm. I'm talking about has been done. And also I want to add to that I played in the league for 14 years and I was on television and then the NFL Network and CBS for another 20 years. Therefore, I kind of know what teams there are in the NFL that are not serious about winning. And why would you want your players or your children to go to places that are not set on winning?
Yes, it's been done before. Like Eli Manning famously sort of, you know, basically said he wasn't going to sign up with the Chargers. It's also not something you see every year. I mean, you know, Caleb Williams, for instance, consensus number one pick, seems like he's going to go to the Bears or, you know, if the Bears trade the pick.
It's done every year. This is going to go viral. I'm going to give you a viral moment.
All right.
It's done every year, but the teams are in control of it.
Okay. What do you mean?
You have guys that are slated to go and slotted to go at this number pick. Mm-hmm. Randomly, something comes out that they flunked the drug tests or they have this type of injury or they were seen with this. And wildly, their draft grade drops
mm-hmm.
later in the rounds or even the next round. How does that happen? How does that mysteriously come out right before the draft? So isn't that the same thing?
I mean, in a way, I guess it is, perhaps.
That's even more harsh. Because yeah, now you're affecting someone's livelihood and you're putting a tremendous rumor on somebody that may not even be true. Mm-hmm. So that's done every year. The reason I know that I worked the draft, I think, for about 10 to 12 years straight. I know that to be true.
And who's putting out those leaks, I guess? Like, who's got the motive to drop a player's draft stock?
Well, when your player drops, that means you want that player at a rebate. You want him on sale.
So if I've got the 20th pick, I see a guy going, you know, maybe 7th, 8th. Maybe I put something out there somehow. Is that what we're saying?
Maybe.
Okay. Very interesting.
It happens every year. It's going to happen this year. It's going to happen last year. It's going to happen every year.
Okay.
Something that was supposed to go here, but they go there. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Could we be moving one day toward if star players start controlling their fates a little bit more? We already have the transfer portal as a kind of quasi-free agency in college. Could we be seeing new levels of freedom for college players as they head into the NFL?
I think you could see what someone could stomach. You could see what someone has the nerve to do.
Yeah.
You got to have the nerve to do it.
Right. I mean, Eli Manning had a lot of nerve, and he got what he wanted.
Manning, last name is Manning.
Yeah, right. It helped.
Yeah. Sanders helps too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where would you like to see him go?
I just want my kid happy, man. I just wanted my kids, plural, somewhere that a team is committed to winning. That's mm-hmm. all. That's all yeah. I want.
All right. I'll throw one more at you. If you had to appoint a commissioner for college football, who would you choose?
God, that's a good one. God, that's a good one. It's a multitude of men that can do this. I love our commissioner of the Big 12. He's doing a wonderful job. He should be the commissioner of football. That's a tough. That's good.
Deion Sanders, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. God bless you, my man.
That's it for today. Drop us a rating and review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you like to tune in. Thanks for listening. We will see you tomorrow. Hey, all, if you've been enjoying the show, take a moment to drop us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify. We always love to see your feedback. You can also share an episode with a friend who you think would enjoy it.